Please be seated. And a short prayer. Heavenly Father, as we study your word this evening, we pray that you will open that word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. May your Holy Spirit give us a joy in following where you lead. In Jesus' name, amen. So a political speech writer was giving advice to politicians this week on the BBC website. One or two politicians had received maulings at question and answer sessions on the EU referendum, and the political speech writer was giving advice. "Don't bombard them with facts," said the writer. "They forget those and they don't impress. Tell stories," she said. "Tell stories. They remember them long after they've forgotten the facts." She went on, "We're hardwired to remember stories." I wondered if she'd been listening to Jesus, because so much of his teaching is in parable, stories that we remember. I wonder which is your favourite parable, the prodigal son, the good Samaritan? I prefer to go for the more obscure ones with unexpected endings. But the parable we read today from Mark chapter 4, the sower, is one of those rare parables that turns up in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It told a story of how life is, and the listeners would have recognized it. A farmer would keep back a proportion of the harvest seed from the previous season, and around October time, he would sow the seed. He would have a bag of seed tied round his neck, and he would scatter it around his field. And of course, some of it would fall on the path, some on the rocky ground, some amongst the weeds, even though he thought he'd pulled them all up, but the roots told him differently. And some would fall on good soil. It's a story we know well, and a picture that those who listened to Jesus would have recognized. It's a very poignant story, even prophetic, because it shows what happened in Jesus' own ministry. It foretells what will happen in response to his teaching. Some would refuse to listen. Water off a duck's back, never letting the message come near them. Others, initially enthusiastic, then falling away. Some, because of opposition. Think of the story in John chapter 9 of the parents of the blind man who was healed. They knew what had happened, but faced with opposition, they couldn't bring themselves to see that Jesus was the Messiah. Others fail to follow because of worries of life. And we can think of Mark chapter 10 and that rich young ruler who went away sad, for he was very rich and could not bear to part with his wealth. In fact, in Jesus' ministry, so many fall away that in John chapter 6, Jesus even asked the 12 disciples, "Will you desert me as well?" And Peter responds, "To whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The parable of the sower describes how life is and how life was for Jesus. And there's a very simple challenge for us about which situation describes you and me at the moment. The seed on the path. The gospel, water off a duck's back. I suppose it would be possible to be here this evening just for the music, whilst having nothing to do with the glorious gospel of love, the glorious gospel of Jesus' love that inspires the beautiful music we've heard this evening. But I hope that's not true. The gospel is far too precious to lose it and to lose its meaning. Perhaps the rocky ground describes you better, initial enthusiasm for faith, and yet faith in God now growing cold. The opposition or cynicism of others around you damaging your faith. I hope that's not true of you. If it is, may I encourage you to keep growing. And I suspect all of us would say the weeds describe us well. We want to be followers, and yet worries of life strangle our faith. In Paul's letters, he often talks about being thankful in all circumstances, turning our anxieties to prayer, holding joyfully to faith. Don't let worries tie you up in knots. A simple challenge to keep rooted in Christ, and fruitfulness will follow. But if we leave the parable there, we miss the punchline. So many parables have punchlines that we miss because we know them so well. This parable, we miss the punchline because it's not a familiar scene to us. I don't want to depress you tonight, but if I were to ask you, what interest rate are you getting on your savings at the moment? I don't want you to answer me now, but I'm sure in your own head there is a figure, even if it's a big round zero. Farmers listening to Jesus telling this story would have known well that if you get a tenfold return on the seed sown, you're doing pretty well, and that's a pretty good harvest. So when Jesus says some fell on the good soil and it produced 30-fold, well, that really is good. 60-fold, you must be dreaming. 100-fold, that just doesn't happen. The story was meant to shock everyone about the rate of return. The gospel sown will multiply in ways beyond all expectation, but it needs to be sown first. The sower mustn't be put off by the wasted seed, because some will fall on good soil and produce amazing return. Who could have foreseen the way the gospel would spread despite persecution to become the established faith of the Roman Empire? Who could have foreseen how the gospel would spread in communist China after the missionaries were expelled? Who could have foreseen the growing evidence of Christian faith in Iran at the moment as Muslims reject the violence of their religion and seek a God of peace? Surprising fruitfulness is what this parable is all about. I don't know how involved you got with the Archbishop's call to prayer in that week before Pentecost, "Thy kingdom come." It was all about sowing the seed. There may and will be disappointments, but also surprising fruitfulness. You may not have the words, but Archbishop Justin encouraged us to pray for 5 other people, maybe 5 neighbors, maybe 5 colleagues at work, maybe 5 other people you meet in a social club. I've been really encouraged over the last year to see folk at St. Peter's Farnborough praying for their 5 friends. And every now and then a story comes back of surprising opportunities to speak about faith, to invite to an event in church. Sow the seed. Don't be put off by the wasted seed. Pray for a surprising fruitfulness. I gather next week in the cathedral there'll be all sorts of celebrations for the Queen's 90th birthday. For some weeks now, we've been giving away at St. Peter's this book, The Servant Queen, and it speaks of the faith of our Queen, and I gather you're all going to be given a copy next week on condition you give it to a friend. Well, we ordered 100, and I was told by the folk in the office they'd be wasted and they'd never get used. In the first week, they all disappeared, so another 100 were duly ordered. They disappeared as well, so a third 100 were ordered. And this morning, I saw another 50 disappearing before my eyes. People are grabbing them and giving them to all their friends at work and colleagues, sowing seeds. Maybe some of it will fall on the path. Maybe some of it will bring surprising blessings. I hope you find folk next week to give copies of that book to speak about the Queen's wonderful faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. drawing this to a conclusion, simply want to encourage you to make sure that you are well planted and well rooted. I want to encourage you to keep sowing the seed. We can't expect a harvest if we don't sow. Sow the seed and pray for surprises. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. May it be to the glory of our wonderful Saviour. Let's pray. I want you to think of five friends or colleagues. Maybe you're already praying for them. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we lose confidence in the glorious gospel. Give us courage to pray for our friends and colleagues. Give us courage to speak of our faith, to offer to pray. And as we sow the seed in the coming weeks, surprise us, we pray, with the harvest that comes by your Spirit. In Jesus' glorious name. Amen.